Happy 4th of July, nerds!
Today we're going to a Magic the Gathering convention to be inducted to the serious world of extremely competitive fantasy card game playing.
Then we talk about digital comics, tell you about some science you can do at home if you want a quiet alternative to setting off firecrackers this weekend.
Welcome to Nerd Portland Radio.
Hello friends, I'm Angela.
And I'm Richard.
And you have joined us at Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray.fm. Thank you for being here. So, Richard, you had quite an interesting weekend.
I did. I went to this huge Magic tournament. There were hundreds of people packed in this huge ballroom, hovering over these super long tables. It was really, really kind of amazing and weird at the same time.
Yeah, so Magic is a game I feel like everybody kind of played in middle school, but it's super complicated now. And there are cards and there are different colors, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and pretty much, I don't know, everybody knows it from middle school, but
yeah.
People kept playing and playing and playing and getting better and better, and now they have these tournaments, and they're so much different than even just stuff in your lunchroom, small events at game shops, just all of that stuff paled compared to this.
Awesome, let's listen to what it was like.
Hello, players. Couple more announcements. We have 296 players here. We have a great tournament. That means we have 9 rounds of Swiss, followed by top 8. With that said, this is the beginning of round 1. You may begin.
Almost everyone who went to high school in the United States knows about the phenomenon of Magic, often seen in the corners of cafeterias and lunchrooms around the country. But in the last 20 years of operation, Magic has grown and grown and grown. And right now I'm standing in the Portland Convention Center for the Star City Games Open, a series of tournaments that happen all around the country. And this one today here in Portland is for a total of $20,000 in cash and prizes, as well as plenty of other smaller scale tournaments, different game types, all sorts of things. There are judges, there are commentators with their own little blue screen and everything. It's amazing to see. There are buyers, there are sellers, there are tons of spectators here to watch the game of Magic. I'm going to go wandering around and see what I can find out from the people who are here today to play and oversee and watch and make this whole thing happen. Terry, what kind of a deck are you playing in the tournament today?
Canadian Threshold.
What is your favorite card out of that deck?
Delver's Secrets.
Delver's Secrets, all right. And just so everyone knows, how much does that card cost?
1 blue mana. It's a 1/1 creature that flips over into a 3/2 flyer.
Okay, cool. And it's just your favorite because?
Because he's broken as heck.
All right, Dylan, what type of a deck are you playing today?
I'm playing Dead Guy Ale.
Dead Guy Ale, all right. What's that like?
It's a black-white Deathblade, pretty much.
All right. What's your favorite card in that deck?
Stoneforge Mystic.
Stoneforge Mystic. Okay, and how much does that card cost?
I think like 10, 12. I don't know. Is it?
Way more than that? All right. Thank you very much. All right. So what's your name?
Taya Steele.
How's the tournament going so far?
Good. I'm 2-0 so far. Played against 2 good matchups, so happy to be here.
What kind of a deck are you playing?
I'm playing Jund.
Okay, tell me more about that.
So, it's like you just play good creatures, you know, Tarmogoyf, Dark Confidant, Deathrite Shaman, and, you know, Liliana Thoughtseize, Hymn to Torok to make it stick. So, your ideal game is like, you know, basically get everyone's hand, you know, more or less empty and then, you know, play a threat.
Okay. What's your favorite card in that deck?
Deathrite Shaman.
Cool, thank you. For those who have never played Magic, it's a collectible card game where 2 players make decks of 60 cards, and they try and destroy each other with them. There are almost infinitely many possibilities that you can choose in order to do that. Tons of combos, cards. Wizards of the Coast, who creates the game Magic the Gathering, puts out a new set every 2 months, and they've been doing that for at least 10 years now. So the possibilities are almost endless.
Players, this is the beginning of round 2. You have 50 minutes. You may begin.
With a short announcement, a new round begins. All the players rush to find out who they're being paired against and which table they are sitting at. At the Star City Open, in each round, players have 50 minutes to beat each other in a best of three competition. There are judges standing by in case there are any infractions or questions or anything like that. But for the most part, everybody is pretty friendly. They shake hands before and after they get playing. They talk nicely. You know, it's a very civil sort of game because everybody's just here to play. The commentators are over here and they are hooked up to Twitch and they are talking about the featured games. And there are 3,000 people on the channel watching. I talked to a group from Seattle and they said this is one of the smaller competitions that they've seen lately. And they're interested in some more cutthroat play. So we'll see how that pans out in the next couple of rounds. I'm here with Jackson and Spencer. Which event are you waiting for?
We're playing a modern side event. It's just a different format of Magic. The main event is standard and modern plays just more cards. Okay. Cards going back farther in time.
Gotcha.
And so the decks tend to be more diverse and I think more interesting.
Okay, very cool. Well, how long have you guys been playing Magic?
I have been playing for like about a year. I'm actually pretty new in comparison to most of the people who are around here. I just like started playing because I had a few buddies who played, and we would just like hang out in their apartment and then like draft or whatever. But I had a housemate who I like wasn't really friends with, who like found out I was playing a little bit and dragged me to like some events at a store. And I started playing more. I've done a couple of the like big tournaments and I'll play a couple times a week at a shop. Yeah.
So doing like drafts and Friday Night Magic and stuff like that?
Yeah. Less FNM because I don't really play standard too much. I'm more of a modern player. But okay. I like drafting a lot too. Yeah.
Okay, very cool. And what about you?
I probably first started playing when I was about maybe like 11.
Okay.
But yeah, I was playing with my friends and we didn't really know the real rules and stuff. And I kind of played on and off with friends throughout like my teen years and then stopped and then picked it up when I was in college and been playing semi-competitively for the last like 3 years.
Do you still have a lot of your cards left over from way back then?
I actually do. When I got back into it, I dug through my old boxes and found a handful of cards that were now worth like reasonable amounts of money, but most of it was pretty bad.
As the tournament continued and the rounds kept going and going, the competitors and I kept getting more and more tired. I decided to leave off, especially since the winning rounds wouldn't be held until Sunday morning. Games continued until midnight. Stay tuned to find out what happened next. You're listening to Nerd Portland Radio here on X-Ray FM. Back to Nerd Portland Radio. I am investigating the Star City Open, a tournament held at the Portland Convention Center for the game Magic the Gathering. As day two begins at the Convention Center, I'm fortunate enough to be able to sit down and talk to Jace from Time Vault Games in downtown Portland about his experiences with the tournament, as well as Rob Hunsaker, who is the overall champion in the Standard Open from Saturday. He sits down and talks to us about what it's like to be a champion at the professional level. All right, I'm here on the floor Sunday morning with Jace of Time Vault Games. How are you doing today?
Doing all right.
Great. And what are you here to play today?
I'm playing Legacy.
Legacy, all right. So that's one of the Magic formats. What's the basic gist of that?
You get to play all the older cards as long as they're not broken.
Okay, excellent. Have you been playing competitively for a long time?
I started playing in the Junior Super Series when I was about 12, so probably 15 years-ish.
Wow. Okay, so a lot of people aren't aware that this tournament scene even happened. So this is kind of a Friday Night Magic is as far as they go. So if people were going to take the step into this, what would you recommend?
Definitely start with Friday Night Magic and then, you know, jump into something a little bit bigger like a PTQ, maybe a Grand Prix. Grand Prix's are really good.
How often do those happen?
The Northwest gets a Grand Prix probably once a year, but the West Coast gets them, you know, twice, three times a year.
Excellent. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Rob Hunsaker is the guy who I talked to yesterday who came down from Seattle and said Portland players weren't very cutthroat, and now here he is holding a foot-tall trophy, proclaiming him the champion. How does it feel to be a winner?
It feels pretty good. I've made top eight a couple other times and couldn't take it down, so it feels good to finally close one out.
Okay. How long have you been playing at a tournament level?
I haven't been playing at a tournament level for that long. I played Magic, casual since I was a kid, but I've only been playing tournament for 2 or 3 years.
All right. And you are part of a team as well, and we talked yesterday, and you came down from Seattle. What team are you on?
Team Legends Tech, the best Magic team in the whole world.
Best Magic team in the whole world. All right, everybody heard it. It's on the record. And how long have you all been together?
About 2 years. Me and some other friends started. It's more of a fun team than a serious tournament team. We like to travel together, go out. We try and keep things light. Try not to take this whole thing too seriously.
All right, very cool. What deck were you playing when you won?
It was called Naya Hexproof. Basically, you're trying to play creatures that your opponent can't interact with. Grind them out.
All right, and really less than an hour later, you're back here playing in the Legacy tournaments.
I am, yeah. Legacy is actually normally my format, so I figured I couldn't pass it up, but we'll see if I make it through the day. I'm pretty tired right now. Playing for, I think, 13, 14 hours yesterday, and already playing for 3 hours today, so another 10, 12 hours to go.
Uh-huh.
Marathon.
So I know that Legacy has a lot of kind of I don't know about standardized deck types, but what type of deck are you playing? Do you like to play in Legacy?
I like to play... The most popular decks in Legacy are the blue decks, where they try and filter their cards, they draw cards, they try and be consistent. I say, kill all those guys. my deck is just death to everything. It plays the most hateful cards against all the blue decks, and I just hope to play against the fair blue decks all day.
I don't know if this is an indelicate question. If it is, I'll just edit this out. What is the most expensive card you're running in your deck?
My Legacy deck's pretty expensive today. I'm playing... Legacy's not cheap anymore.
Yeah.
It's gone way up. I have Tarmogoyf, which is like one of the most expensive Magic cards. I think it's like $180, $200. But Dark Confidant 2, which is around $100. Four of them all. So.
Okay.
And the lands. The lands.
The lands, yeah. I don't know, this is weird, but just to kind of get a sense of the scale, like, if you wanted to count up the decks that are out there and the amount of money we're talking about, like, what's a rough estimate?
So some of these events actually have armed security guards at the door, and they give you a wristband.
Yeah.
Because, there's so much money here. People have stolen hundreds of thousands of Magic cards. I would say, my deck alone is probably, I've never added it up, but it's at least 3,500, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Man, we're in maybe not a million, but six figures for sure.
Okay. Wow. Thank you very much for talking with me, and congratulations on your victory, and good luck in the tournament today. I hope you make it through.
Thanks again.
In a game like Magic, every single round there are both winners and losers, and just by looking at people's faces, you can often tell which one it is. Often when people lose, they are more than happy to share exactly what went wrong in great detail. You played in this round of the tournament, right?
Yeah.
And how did the round go?
I had a good matchup, but I just didn't draw any of my answers, and I sideboarded like seven cards. I didn't draw any of them, but I try to take it in stride. Just don't get too angry about it, otherwise. But I'm just gonna do worse even in the next round. But he got Xenagos, he got his the Red God. And he just got so much devotion. I got an answer right after that, but it was just no matter which one I blew up or exiled, it was just going to be hey, I still have five, six devotion. So you could just swing for six, and I just had two blockers that were 1-1. So,
Well, best of luck in the next round.
Yeah, thank you.
All Magic players, they like to tell you their bad beat stories. Friends will come up to you and they'll be like, "I'm so unlucky," blah blah blah. When in actuality, a lot of times you have more control over your match than you give yourself credit. You might have missed something, have you. And it's just like anything else. It's just insufferable listening to people tell you about how unlucky they are.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Soon, the Portland Convention Center will go back to normal, but for these 48 hours, it's been home to a Magic the Gathering tournament. Magic is a multi-million dollar arm of Hasbro, which fields tournaments around the country and around the world every single year, drawing in thousands and thousands of players. The next tournaments here in Portland will happen in August when the Wizards of the Coast Grand Prix comes to town, and Star City Games will be back this winter. And if you're like me and you're interested in this, maybe it's time to use those months to get those cards out of your closet and start practicing. Hopefully I'll see you at some of your local game shops for some Friday Night Magic.
You're listening to Nerd Portland Radio on xray.fm. So, Richard, how was that Magic tournament compared to what you had expected?
I mean, after being there, I don't know what I expected, honestly. This was so crazy. There were just so many people. It was so much money on the floor. It was,
yeah.
I had no idea.
It's crazy. It's awesome.
Anyway, yeah, so that was my weekend. How have you been doing? Are you finding time for, you know, some stuff, some geeky stuff in your busy double-click schedule?
You're right. I'm very important.
Yeah, yeah.
kind of. Mostly I've been reading a lot of digital comics. Let's see. Last week we talked about how it's sort of a good time to get into comics, at least in my limited experience and opinion. So I'm reading right now Rat Queens and Lumberjanes and Saga and Sex Criminals, which are all relatively new.
Wow.
That's well, it seems like a lot, but it's super easy to get into them on digital comics. And then I started Red Sonja as well, which is also super good.
Wow. And plus you borrowed all of my X-Men books.
Of course I did, yes. yeah, see, I'm not the kind of person who has spent a lot of my time reading comic books or buying them in stores. And I know that some people are concerned that digital comics are sort of taking business away from comic stores, which I totally understand the fear there.
Yeah.
But at least in my anecdotal experience, I am not good at leaving the house for any reason, like especially not to go drop $3 on an issue a week. But do you read digital comics at all?
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's really addictive and it's super easy. Like I don't subscribe to them. You can just subscribe and they'll take your money away, which is comic stores do that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I just find myself like reading one issue, like they'll give you a free issue, and then I'm in bed at like the middle of the night and I'm like, I need to know what happens next. So I'll spend like $10 or $20 without even leaving my bed, which I guess maybe I don't like digital comics. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, and I guess I've also been playing a lot of Mario Kart, the new Mario Kart, which is really super fun.
Really? I haven't seen anything about it yet.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it even though I am never going to be the one that wins the game, which is sort of like the bar for me. Like, I'll play Counter-Strike with you, but I'm never going to win, so eventually I'm going to get really bored.
Right.
And even old Mario Kart, like, I wasn't as into it, but it's just so pretty and it's really fun and the item balancing is good. So if you're behind, you kind of have a better chance of doing better. So I am a fan. I'm a fan.
That's good. All right.
But yeah, we're pretty busy other than that. Not a whole lot going on.
Yeah. Well, I think both of us have been pretty busy lately.
Yeah.
Should we tell them?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess we should. Yeah. This weekend we are both at cons, like even as this is airing at this moment.
Right now.
I am in Utah and you are in...
I'm in Seattle.
Yeah. This is magic. Yeah. This is magic, but I feel like we should be forgiven on our geek show for being at conventions.
That's right. That's what we're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
Anyway, happy 4th of July. We'll be right back on Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM.
So it is the 4th of July weekend, and that means that this city is full of science right now.
Okay, I was going to go explosions, but okay, how so?
No, okay, no, like fireworks, and I don't understand exactly. You probably do better than I do, but like, it's just an explosion, but because of chemicals and physics, there's like green ones and they're different shapes and they're right. bigger and smaller.
I'll
You're with me.
Yeah.
You're with me. So we went on Twitter this week. Our Twitter account is NerdPDX Radio. And we asked you sort of for your favorite do-at-home science experiments, because obviously it's sort of a time for home science experimentation. If you don't want to blow things up, there are other things you can do.
Right. I mean, there's lots of stuff you can do in your house. You know, there's baking soda and vinegar, you know, Diet Coke and Mentos.
Yes.
You go with the core, the basics.
Absolutely. But that's, I mean, that's not all there is.
No, no, not at all.
So one of our Twitter friends, Joshua Warkall, told us that he likes to try out the potato battery, which is something I have never done. And I know
yeah.
you haven't either. But how does it work?
So I had to do some research on this. But you can get a decent voltage out of potatoes. It's basically... it's the same theory as a regular battery, except you use a potato instead of battery acid.
Mm-hmm.
You just hook up electrodes, and the circuit will run through. It can light up an LED with a single potato, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Get a bunch of them together and light up a house. And people are doing all this research about how if you boil it for a certain length of time, will that help? Will that generate more electricity?
Interesting.
Yeah, because we have a lot of potatoes, and
sure,
we probably... you know, run the world on them.
Absolutely. Back to Twitter. Gary West suggested that one cool, all right, that's a pun, but you don't know yet, experiment would be to sort of flash freeze super cooled water, purified water, to make sort of
yeah.
instant ice, which looks uh-huh. crazy in YouTube videos.
It does. You should definitely check it out. Yeah, super cooling is taking this purified water and you cool it below its freezing point, and it just kind of sits there, and it looks like water, but it's ready to be ice. It just hasn't made the switch yet.
Yeah.
So to turn it into, it has to be purified water. There's a whole process for it you can read about, but as soon as all it takes to turn it into ice is touching other ice, or you could hit it really hard, and it'll just freeze up immediately. So they make these weird, like, pouring ice out onto...
yeah, you pour something
ice.
That looks like water, and it just immediately turns into ice,
yeah,
which is crazy looking.
Yeah, it's totally bizarre.
Matthew Dockery told us that you can calculate the speed of light using marshmallows and a microwave, and I am ready for you to get angry about this, because
okay.
you are a math teacher, so...
I'm not angry about it at all.
Of course not.
It's a calculation that you can do once you already know how light works, because it's
so they didn't discover the speed of light with marshmallows and a microwave. You want to make sure everybody knows that.
I do
just start
to
with
that.
It. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not like using a telescope and, you know, light going off the moons of Jupiter and coming back and stuff like
yeah.
that. But really, you just take a layer of marshmallows and you put them in a microwave, and you turn it on for a little bit until they start to melt, and they'll melt in a pretty uniform pattern. So you measure the distance between them, and that's the wavelength, and then every microwave has its own frequency. You look on the back, it'll tell you, and you multiply wavelength by frequency, and you get the speed of light.
That's pretty... so it's
yeah.
like a nice visual learning way to know those
yeah,
things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you ever forget the speed of light, you
can
just
yeah.
and you happen to have marshmallows and a microwave and no
yeah,
encyclopedia.
A baking pan, yeah, exactly.
A baking pan, like a metal one? Because that's not...
okay, I don't... well, that'd be a different experiment.
Okay.
That's a lot more fun.
And Pale Kale, who is also on Twitter, had my favorite, which is making ice cream, which is science, I think.
Yeah, it is.
You can just, which I've also never done. Well, actually, I think I may have at some point when I was a child, but you can make ice cream at home with, like, ice in a bag? How does that
yeah,
work?
Yeah, I've done this one in my physics class. They hated it and loved it because it was really messy and cold, but they got to eat ice cream at the end.
Yeah.
So you have this Ziploc bag, and it's full of your ingredients,
uh-huh.
and then you put ice around it in a different Ziploc bag, and then you add a bunch of salt. So normally, like, milk and ice, when they get together... they melt, and it just equilibrium.
Yeah, that's
liquid.
Not ice cream.
Right, that's just...
that's iced milk and kind of gross. Yeah, okay.
But if you salt the ice, it gets even colder, and it will lower the temperature of everything, so the equilibrium hits at frozen instead of liquid, so you end up getting tasty ice cream.
Sounds delightful.
It's pretty good. You just make sure you, like, use towels or wear gloves, because it's really, really cold.
Awesome. Well, tell us about your favorite homemade science on Twitter at NerdPDX Radio, and also check that out for whatever we're going to talk to you about next week.
That's right. All right, we'll be right back with more Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM.
Welcome back. So what is the story on this week's geek calendar in Portland, Richard?
Oh my gosh, that's a good question. All right, this week you should check out GearCon.
Yes.
Here, this weekend at the Doubletree.
That is a steampunk convention. I love steampunk because the outfits are amazing and ornate and very complicated. Probably right. Really warm this weekend.
I think so, yeah.
But if you aren't familiar with steampunk, just sort of think gears and bowler hats.
Yeah.
And your mind will get there.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of like clockwork. I don't know, Wild West, somewhere in there.
Yeah, something in there.
Victorian.
GearCon is $55 for the whole weekend, but you can just sort of stop by for some of their evening events. They've got lots of stuff going on for like $10, $7. If I were in town, I would go check out the radio-controlled airship build challenge and obstacle course, which sounds amazing. And you can just show up, and they have like a maker's room, and you build your remote-controlled airship.
Wow, I wish I could be there for that, actually. That's great.
Yeah.
And on Sunday night, there's a steampunk-themed burlesque show that, according to the GearCon website, will boast some surprises, like a nude theremin player.
Well, that isn't a surprise anymore now.
I mean, it's kind of shock. I don't know. Is it? It's shocking?
I wonder how. I'm very excited for them. Yeah. Anyway, you should at least stop by the Doubletree or go to the mall across the street or something, because there's nothing quite like a whole lobby full of people in costume and like a one confused tourist family. Just like, stop by at check-in time and see what's going on. And what else is happening?
Well, our other recommendation is Puzzle Pint. You know, it happens every month. We've talked about it before. But Puzzle Pint is a monthly puzzle-solving event here in town, and the next one is on Tuesday. Get a team together, drink, solve puzzles. You can check out the old puzzles on puzzlepint.com, and you can also find the location puzzle posted Monday at noon.
That is it for us on Nerd Portland Radio this week. Thank you for tuning in.
See you on the internet.
On our campus and required for class. The poet was a woman. She just used long, meaningless words. And we shared a couch and a pack of it's an apple cider mix. It was you and me and modern poetry. Semi-final round, and I had such bad luck. I just couldn't do it, couldn't draw enough mana. And when you won, you were so kind. Your hand reached out and it shook mine. It was you and me and modern poetry. Student, and I was so far behind, and I asked how to use JavaScript, and you took my hand and you showed me Flash. Together we stuck it to the HTML geeks. It was you and me and modern poetry. Was velvet and you were wearing tights and you caught my eye next to a stand selling sterling silver rings and you asked if I wanted to see the reenactment jousting with you. It was you and me and modern poetry. Playing the bass for a heavy metal band, and when you bought me a drink, you said that you were just subbing and you loved anti-folk, and I liked your Star Trek.